Murphy off the near board, centered one. Ronick couldn't kick it to the stick. Now the wraparound, he scores! Jeremy Ronick worked it loose on the far side, then wrapped it around the near post. And Ronick continues his torrid pace, his 47th goal of the year.
One man to beat, Ronick in on Gdynia. A spinorama! He's around him, he's in! He scores! Jeremy Ronick! A great move as he turned the Soviet defenseman inside out.
Sorley gets up and he gets into it with Jeremy Ronick. So the youngster, the 20-year-old from Boston, going at it with one of the tough guys, McSorley.
Bouncing one over the leaf line. Murphy picked out a net air to Amani. Set him up, Ronick. Off-win! Jeremy Ronick! After the giveaway was scored by Amani. And the Blackhawks have come back from the dead.
So cool. So awesome. Look at 27, just sitting here chilling out, about to go on the ice. One more shift. Jeremy Ronick with us here, 720 WGN. Brent Sopel, I'm Mark Carmen, feeling way out over my skis.
This is, hang on, way before. You got his name goes before ours, so
JR is here. Jeremy Ronick.
I think it's all good. I mean, listening to all those replays, I don't remember much. Especially, you know, in my career. But I remember every single one of those highlights and, you know, where it was and what I was feeling. Like Martin McSorley, fighting Martin McSorley, like, what am I doing? I remember I hit him and I was standing over him. You know, you don't hit somebody and stand over somebody, especially like Martin McSorley. And he got up and he hit me so hard in the forehead that I went blind for like 5 seconds. I couldn't see a thing. I swear to God. It was like... Welcome to the National Hockey League, kid.
Welcome to hockey.
Now that's hockey right there.
Hockey mentality. You know, just to remind you, ninth in team history, 596 points, seventh in goals. You all can cheer for this. 13th in assists, first round draft pick, 107 points, 92, 93, 103, and 93, 94. And by the way, if you grew up when I did in this city, I mean, you were the guy, Jeremy Ronick. That was all day. Remember the roar, Chicago Stadium,
right?
The greatest place on earth. Bring it back. It pains me to this day, right? I mean, it was the best.
It was that old Chicago Stadium was the best stadium of all time.
Of all time,
ever built. You know,
agreed.
Go back as far as you want, but to walk up those stairs, hear the roar. You know, when Wayne Mesmer started singing the anthem, it was like, you know, the goosebumps, the chills, tears coming out of your eyes the first time that you ever hear it. You know, you made it. Obviously the memories here are abundant, and I couldn't even you know spend a day just talking about it. It would be a year, but it's great to be back here. I love the opportunity to put the jersey back on tonight. It's going to be awesome.
You know, to call you a friend and a teammate is pretty special to sit here and talk to you and have your son. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, he was right. he wasn't here when I was here, so he was just a future thought actually.
Yeah.
So, but it's nice that he could see. Kind of what, you know, what Chicago means to me and luckily what I mean to Chicago. So it's nice to bring him along.
Well, you mean a ton. No, you just take a look around here, everybody in the radio. It's, all you can see is red jerseys looking. There's pictures, you know, I want pictures for you. But tell me about, obviously, you know, you're a star in NBC. Yeah. And you've always been a star. I remember playing with the LA. Hey, Jay, you want to go for dinner? Sorry, no, I got some movie TV. I got some commercial. I got my own place. No, I can't do it. Sorry, guys. So we'll probably be the same thing today. What about the game would you change?
Hey, by the way, we tipped a lot of glasses of wine together,
yes,
you and I.
Yes,
in
we
our
did.
Days. Yes, we did. You know what? I think the game is really, really good right now. I think there's a lot of things that are a lot different. You know, I think if you're going to change one thing I would take is the instigator rule out. Yeah. Go back to a little bit more old school hockey. That'll never happen. But I think they could probably change the, you know, the point system. You know, I think that all these points that are being thrown around for a win in overtime, you know, an extra point stuff. It should be if you win the game, you get 2 points. If you lose the game, you don't get anything. If you play till a shootout, then you each get one. One and then another gets two. There's just so many different things that I think that are keeping these teams so close together in so many ways that you can get points. It's that'd be, I think, one of the things I'd change.
I think both you and I are old school. We'd like to bring back the instigator. Let's rough it up again.
Yes.
You know, get punched in the forehead.
Take away the instigator. If someone does something stupid, to have someone come over and just knock them right in the head and say, we're not doing that anymore.
What happened to policing
They will yourself? Think twice. They will think twice about running around being dummies because you know how many dummies run around just doing that instigator thing. You know, you look at Roussel down in Dallas. I mean, it drives me absolutely out of my mind. You know, a couple players that are not in the game anymore because there's no need for that anymore. But, Yeah, and by the way, of hitting today in the game today, I think I'd get suspended probably every other week the way that I hit now. The game is really cracked down on the hard hits, the high hits, the head hits, which is good. You got to protect the players as much as possible.
Well, do you guys see them ever outlawing fighting, period? I mean, that's always a discussion when they want the league to be fan-friendly. I know it's painful to even have it out there, but, I mean, that's the question.
In this day and age with, you know, with the concussions and all the protocol and, you know, the way that our sports are going, you know, make sure everybody's easy, make sure nobody gets hurt. It would not surprise me in this day and age that the fighting is taken out of the game.
But hockey, there's very few concussions. What are they come from hits, as you talked about. So to eliminate fighting, in my mind, insane.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a big advocate of it. I mean, it's part of the history of it. I do believe there is a place for it. And I think, hey, listen, if you're there and you don't want the parents are afraid to watch it, it's up to the parents to make sure that they explain what they're seeing, what's happening. Everybody knows it's a hockey game. It's part of the game. And tell you the truth, there's a lot of people that come here hoping to see that a fight breaks out.
No question.
That's the way it is.
All right. How many schools you go and talk to? Kids put their hands up. Well, what's the first question? How many fights you been in?
Yeah. You know? It's a pretty intriguing thing, but what I like today is the game is so good. It's so fast. It's so talented. You know, the fighting has really dropped off a lot in the National Hockey League. You see great hockey and you see a great sport, and I think that's really overshadows anything besides, you know, the physicality of it.
720 WGN, Jeremy Roenick with us, Brent Sopel right here. I'm Mark Carmen. So you're going to be on the ice tonight. You're going to skate around.
Yeah, pretty cool, right? I'm going to make sure that I do not go too fast, because I don't skate very much anymore, but I could still get around okay, but I just want to make sure I get to that center ice, do my waves and grab that energy. Get to grab that energy of the United Center
can
again.
Can you grab it like you did in Vegas?
I'm not going to
dance?
No, come on.
You've got the moves.
That would be a good thing, but you know what? If I was skating, if I did feel more comfortable on my feet, I probably would do that. Nobody, by the way, will ever do that again.
Only Jeremy Orr, the legend.
Yeah, skate and dance in front of 23,000 people, right? But it's an honor for me. I thank the Blackhawks tremendously for bringing me back to allow this. To stand on that blue line to hear the national anthem. And I know all you guys are going to be yelling as loud as you possibly can tonight, what you do every game. I remember the chills that went through my body when that used to happen. And it's one thing to be in the stands and hear that national anthem, but it's a whole other thing to be down on that blue line and be able to watch it from the ice floor. And I'm going to be really excited about that. So. Great night for me.
They did it for Steve Larmer. They did it for Dennis Savard. Now they're doing it for you. I mean, just where you sit in Blackhawks history and the love you get from the fans.
It's great. Only 8 years, right? So,
yep.
You know, who would have known if I would have stayed here my whole career? I always think about that. They always say if you had a chance to go back and change your life or change something in your life, you know, you wish that it would stay right here in Chicago. I wonder where my life would be, what my career would be, my mystique would be if I stayed here my whole career. It'd probably be, pretty amazing. But still to come back here, the fans treat me so well here. And every time they make me feel like one of their own, and that makes me feel good.
What do you think was the key for you playing so long? I mean, you were a physical guy on the ice, and you had a very long career.
I don't know. And it's funny, when I first came in the league and I started throwing my body around because Keenan, made me. And I was only like 155 pounds. People started telling me that I was going to end up like Wendell Clark, with the bad back, the bad body, and a shortened career. But for some reason, I just was born with a durable body, and, I hit the right way. I knew how to take a hit, avoided a lot of things, but...
You worked out like a phenom. Let's not kid anybody.
I didn't work out. I didn't work out until I was about 25, 26. I started. I didn't see an ab on a hockey player until I was 26. By the way, it wasn't in there. But then once that 26 came, that was the generation started working out. Chelios, Tockett, they all got me out there, and then I worked. Then I worked
my
butt off.
One summer living in LA, I was working. I was working out with JR and Chelly, just destroyed me, embarrassed me, and I'm like, I just probably should retire now. These two guys just destroyed all of us. 20, 25-year-old guys, and these days come in there.
Yeah.
And we're working out at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Crack of dawn.
Crack of dawn.
And these two were just absolutely magic.
Where did that drive come from? I'm going to get up at 5:30. I've had a huge career, made a ton of money. I'm still getting up at 5:30 because I love sports so much. And
well,
I'm
think it is.
To be great,
you
right?
know, it is. It's the fear of not being able to play again. It's the fear of somebody passing you by. I mean, if you're a competitor and you want the best, like I was I hated losing so much more than I liked winning. You know, it was that kind of feeling. I didn't want anybody to beat me. Like, and you know, Brent was talking about when we're working out, we had all these competitions, and Chelly was like, he was the upper echelon.
Right.
And I would, you know, I'd almost throw up to the point where I worked so hard because I didn't want Chelly to beat me. But you have to have that inner drive. You have to have that, I'm not going to fail. And if I fail, I'm going to know that I gave everything that I had. Because if you do fail and you've given everything, then you can look in the mirror and you can be like, okay, I can accept that.
Yeah, I have a weird obsession with Michael Jordan. I was watching a video the other day. Craig Hodges is talking about him. Played 4 years with him. Said he never lost a wind sprint once in the 4 years that he played. I mean, a wind sprint. You're the best player in the game. You don't have to win those. And he never once lost.
You know who else never lost a wind sprint? Levert never lost was Al Secord. Because if you were in front of him, he was going to two-hand you across the ankle and make sure that you went down. So he was one of those guys, don't get in front of me.
But, I mean, people don't realize, though, you know, the great players or anybody really in the NHL or any professional sport, but the work ethic, it's not – you guys don't fall out of bed.
They set the bar. Yeah. Yeah, they set the bar. And, you know, they say not everybody's going to be a leader, but if you're not, you better be a good follower. But the true champions are the guys that are always, always, always want to be first. And they get pissed if somebody beats them in anything. And that's a competition level that you have to have. Yeah. You can't accept mediocrity. And you don't like losing, but sometimes you have to accept losing. You know, it's not a bad thing. Sometimes it teaches you to be a good winner.
Yeah, absolutely. You learn more from losing than you do winning.
No question.
If you're a good athlete. But, Jared, we're talking
just
about
as long
injuries.
As you don't get a trophy for losing. No trophy.
Oh, no,
losing.
I guess that's all this day and age. That's all you get.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about earlier.
Trust me. You don't have to hurry.
Yeah, you knew where I was going.
There's no A's or B's. Oh, it's just you're meeting expectation. Good job, Johnny.
Yeah.
Keep going. But we were talking about injuries. You know, well, I played through injuries. This guy was absolutely – didn't matter if the jaw was shut, wired shut. Didn't matter if he had concussions. You ask him about some of his injuries.
Yeah, I've had pretty much everything. And it was weird to me. You know, you look at the guys today, right? Growing up, and you were in the same situation as me. When you got hurt, you were afraid to leave the lineup. Because if you left the lineup and somebody came in and played better than you, they were going to keep your spot. And you're the one that was going to sit in the stands and lose that job. And if you lose that job, it's hard getting it back, number one. Then where are you going to go? You're going to go to the minors? Nowadays, these kids, they're not fearful of missing hockey games. They get paid so much money. Yeah. If they go to another team, hey, I got enough money. I can last me for this, that. We were scared to lose our jobs. We would play through injury. If we had to miss one game, it was a lot. I think today, you have guys that have injuries that they'd probably miss one game. They could miss one game. Next thing you know, they miss four or five, right?
Right.
Oh, it doesn't feel so good right now. There's no motivation to get back into the game. I think the superstars are a little bit different. They have that, got to get back in there, got to get that compete. But it's just a different time now.
You mentioned him earlier. What, people ask you, hey, well, how was Mike Keenan? What do you think of Mike Keenan? What do you say?
Like I said, you know, I don't have enough time to talk about Keenan. He was, luckily he changed in his old age. But when I first got here, he was... He was the biggest ball buster of all time. I mean, he would come in that locker room. He would yell just to yell because he didn't want anybody to be comfortable in that locker room. He wanted everybody to be on edge because if you were on edge, you would play on edge, right? And if you didn't have any energy, he would yell at you so loud and so long until you got so mad that you started playing hard because he would always say that if you have no energy, at least your negative energy is better than no energy at all. So he would just pound that into you. And boy, I saw some things. Guys taking swipes at him. Guys, you know, hitting him, chasing him out of locker rooms, swears.
He punched
fights.
Me.
Yeah, he's
for real.
Yeah, he punched me.
Yeah, he was bad.
I was in Vancouver. I was a young kid. He was sending me to the minors, and I'm walking by him. He just grabbed me right in the shoulder. I'm like, he goes, "You should be on this team." I'm like, "Then why am I not? You're the one sending me down."
Yeah, he's a great man. I owe a lot to him. He taught me how to survive in the National Hockey League, and I wouldn't have played the way I did if it wasn't for him. So, but I was always one of those guys that loved tough coaches. I loved guys yelling at me. I loved, you know, You know, I wouldn't. I'd stand on top of the table and pound my chest. I wouldn't crawl under it and, you know, start whining.
Yeah, him and I are so much alike. That's exactly it. I didn't want a nice coach. Get in my face. Mark Crawford was the guy for me. Him and I used to get in FU matches on the bench in front of each other. The players would be like, are you kidding me?
We used to have 20 of them a period with Keenan, right? Yeah. Every single guy would have them. So, yeah, it's crazy.
We got like two more minutes with Jeremy Roenick here. He's going to be on the ice going crazy for him tonight. Huge, huge night for you. That's just, it's so awesome. Favorite winger and your favorite teammate as a Blackhawk?
Well, it's when you come up, you play with Steve Larmer and Michel Goulet, and they teach you the game, and you look good because they're so good. I mean, I think Steve Larmer should be in the Hall of Fame. Hopefully someday he does go in. Obviously, Michelle is. Those two guys taught me the ins and outs, how to play the game positionally, so on and so forth.
Well, you're coming out of high school, too.
Right out of high school. So I got two Hall of Famers on each side, right? But then I had Tony Amonte, who I played with as a little kid. I played with him in high school, came here to Chicago. We could have played blindfolded together.
Wow.
So... And then I had Chris Chelios on the back end. You know, those are the four guys in terms of teammates. You know, two of my favorites and two of the guys that really that taught me the game. Well, you know, Dennis Savard too. I got to bring Dennis Savard.
Savvy. You're going to leave Savvy out of this?
Savvy was my mentor here. Savvy was my mentor.
And you go back to, not very many kids get drafted out of high school and come.
It's crazy.
Not a U.S. U.S. at 155 pounds.
Exactly.
It was
155 pounds.
So that's soaking wet with 10 pounds of weight.
Very rare.
But that tells you what kind of guy he was, what kind of dedication and heart he had, because you had to come in and do that much more because you're coming out of high school.
Against animals. Yeah. Against animals.
And at that point in time, you could see that now, but back then, absolutely. Yeah. Guys want to literally take your head off.
Scary people.
2010, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Yep. Not too bad, Jeremy Roenick.
Not bad. Let's hope the big hall comes knocking soon. That would be nice.
Oh, you got my vote.
And let's hope that 2-7 goes into the rafters here. That would be, that would be right up there with the Hall of Fame for me.
I got a hunch that's going to happen. So
I'm praying. I hope so. Hey, I'm glad the 27's on my back tonight. Nobody else's. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Jeremy Roenick, thanks for stopping by.
Right, thanks,
Have
guys.
A great time tonight.
Appreciate
Loved it.
Thanks, buddy.
JR, Jeremy Roenick right here. That's 720 WGN.